So this is the first that I heard that it was actually an issue of not having the correct staff in place in our billing department. I've always heard that this is a part of the Xerox issue with the state, and that we've had billing issues there. But what you just said, if I heard you correctly, was that we've had overworked people whose attention are divided amongst other tasks, including reception or filing or whatever it might be, and they've fallen down and they can't keep up. And so now what we need to do is take and hire an outside company to take over that billing. And I just can't see how we can say that that doesn't work, given the success that it's had in the past. And I know everything's getting more and more complex. But the second thing is that I've heard over and over again is that it's very difficult to find these people to do this job. And it's a small town. And where do we find billing experts in this town? Well, my feeling is that in our town, we don't have billing experts here, but we have people who want to learn. And so I'll give you an example. Up in our radiology department, we have two locals that work there. They weren't hired knowing how to do x-rays. They came to work, they loved living here, they went up, they got trained, the hospital took the time, trained them, and now we have two x-ray technicians here who are from our town, and I mean, Ang's been here a long time, but I'm just saying local people that went in. We have a person that works in our lab. When she started, she wasn't a phlebotomist. She went up, the hospital invested in her and trained, and now we just think, well, of course, she's a phlebotomist. That just makes perfect sense. You even told us the other day you're sending out the fellow from your other department to go get training to be the long-term care or the hospital person for a certain thing. I don't understand how, when we've already identified that we have an issue with understaffing in our department, that our solution is to go to a contract. The second thing, and I'll give you a chance to answer that because I have a second question that goes along with that, and I appreciate your negotiating abilities. They sound very good, especially if we're down 0.8% from Petersburg. We always like to beat Petersburg. My concern is this is a lot of money. This is $200,000, and we're going on your negotiating standards. No, I'm not trying to call you out on it, but wouldn't it have been better to have them fighting for our business by having this go out to a bid process with other services like this? I know it's convenient because we currently have a master service agreement with them, but why wouldn't we invite it for bid?
Well, the difficulty in inviting it for bid is having someone who can access our system. CPSI is our software system. TrueBridge is a subsidiary of CPSI, so there's that fluidity into our system. I'm not sure what it would look like for a third party. Everything would have to be translated into some other form of software, and I think that would be very, very difficult, if not impossible. And I don't mean to disparage anybody who's done anything at Rambo Hospital prior to my getting here. I do not know what has transpired in that. But I have seen in other hospitals the billing and collections function is very difficult in small rural hospitals. And I've been in northern Maine and South Texas, Colorado, and see very similar kinds of things. You could hire someone and you could try to train them. First of all, you need somebody has the ability to train them. You know, to hire someone to come in and train them to do x-rays where you do, you know, 50 x-rays a month, you know, is one thing. But to bring someone in to try to train them that you send out hundreds and hundreds of bills, every week, every month, there's a bigger challenge there. And my concern is it's more of a current urgency about cash flow, and I do have a concern that it won't take much of an event to put you back in that $100,000 or less kind of field. I do think that this could very well be a stopgap measure. Yes, it's going to cost you money, but you will be able to have the cash to pay for that, and you certainly can take a look at it 12, 18 months down the road and say, okay, now should we do something different? They've had excellent success with it at Petersburg, and I have no reason to believe that you wouldn't have the same success here.
Let me clarify because I want to make sure I heard you correctly. Okay. So because we use TruBridge's computer system, they're the only people that can do external billing for us, billing management.
I wouldn't say that they were the only people, but, you know, in just as you think about it, if you're using the person who understands and has basically written your software, it's certainly going to be a lot smoother kind of transition. I think there are probably companies that you could download files to them and they send out bills for you that they would not be able to access into your, so then that would, when payments came back, then your people would have to go back into your system and enter them into your accounts receivable and take them off the patient accounts. Whereas TruBridge, they can access directly into our system and do all of that work for us. I think you would have a big problem if you tried to outsource it to someone who's not on the same computer platform.
And not only that, we have a track record with TruBridge. We've worked well with them in the past. They care about our business because they are our meaningful use vendor, and they do a pretty good job of providing what we need on a regular basis. They have done a great job with Petersburg. We've, in addition to the risk assessment, we've also had them automate our payroll, and that's been very successful. They're known to us, and we have every reason to believe that they will do as well with us as they've done in other areas, and again, now have Petersburg as another indicator of their ability to do a good job. The other thing I want to just also comment about the issue of why don't we just hire more people and train them. I'm really very much opposed to the idea of putting payroll outside of Wrangell. I want the people here in Wrangell to be able to have the earnings, spend the money on things here in Wrangell, and I'm really in agreement with that. But what I've come to learn from really studying this over a long period of time is even if we added more people, it takes up to a year to train somebody from scratch to being a highly proficient biller, and they're specialized now. They can't cross-train that well. Even if they are cross-trained, by the time the Medicare biller has to take care of commercial insurance or Medicaid, it might have been 6 weeks since they did that last time, and it hasn't worked. I know that Olinda tried that a number of times, and it hasn't worked anywhere. So that's why there's these contract billers, lots of them, that are able to come in and do this job for a very high premium price. So I think that the risk of even bringing someone in and putting them through a year of training, then if they leave, that all that knowledge goes with them, and once they are trained that well, they can get a job anywhere, which is good for them. But we need a consistent process that works 24/7 that we can, and also to, I think, take some of the pressure off of the people that are working so hard right now. So those are some of the things that we have really mulled over for a very long time, or we wouldn't be doing this.
I have a couple items here I'd like to. Since this involves a pretty substantial amount of money without competitive bid, how can we legally do that?
Well, there are certain competitive bidding is required in our code unless there's some reason. One of them is a compatibility reason. I could get.
But we don't know that for certain, unless you ask.
Normally professional service agreements normally apply to things like attorneys and engineers, architects, auditors, people like that where you don't competitive bid. We have done things, as an example, at our power plant where there is a company that provides all our backup and all that as far as the design of our system. So whenever we have something, we generally go to them because it is a compatibility. Could someone else do it? Probably if you kind of started all over with the process. So we've done things like that. But I would say a reason that you wouldn't have to go to competitive bid. I'd have to read the code closer to see if there's other things, but as an example, if you have you know, a certain kind of computer or something like that, and you're adding a module to it of some kind. You know, if you've got X, you can't, you got to have an X1, you can't have a Y. So, so those kind of reasons, we have done that in the past, and that is allowed in the municipal code.
The other issue I think about, and Steve kind of touched on it, is about the future. And we're talking about the possibility of sometime, and hopefully in the not too distant future, we'll build a new hospital with improved services, expanded services, which will put us right back in the same position if we don't hire people locally and have them trained in the meantime before that happens. We get to, if we have the people there getting them trained before this happens, then they're ready to go when it occurs. When we get a new hospital, there are increased services, more workload, and the same people doing it is just not going to work. We're going to have to look at hiring people whether we like it or not. Personally, if we could put more people to work, put them all to work, everybody to work.
It's not just the, if we hired more, let's say we added two more people right now, because believe me, I've been thinking about this a lot too. And we, you know, put them through the training and everything. One of our biggest problems is because they are somewhat specialized and because of the complexity, if we even had two more people, right now a person in their first year at Wrangell Medical Center gets a little more than 6 weeks of paid days off a year, and that includes the 10 holidays. That, and it goes up from there. And so if you have people with some seniority, then you're looking at a lot of weeks total where somebody is gone. And they deserve to be, that's their benefit. But when a person is specialized in a certain area and they're not there, then the process stops. And that's one of the things that we've struggled with the most, is how to keep that flow going, you know, day after day after day.
Well, I agree with hiring people locally, and I think that's eventually what you should work toward. My concern is the immediate need and the immediate, you know, it's not a, I wouldn't say it's a crisis point yet, but it's getting, I have a concern that in 6 months your accounts receivable has not gone down and your cash has not gone up and doesn't appear to be getting any better. I do believe this could be a stopgap measure, and then look toward hiring full-time people as you get down.
Well, we've got kind of a situation here, is you got three people basically that do the billing at the hospital, and you, even if you hire a person to assist in that, it's going to take one of those people to a substantial amount of their time to train that person. Mm-hmm. So it's going to increase the problem. Mm-hmm. And the further you go, the worse it's going to get.
But if you get to a point where you're using TrueBridge, I apologize, as you have.
No, no problem.
If you get to a point in using TrueBridge, then it gives you the luxury of the billing getting done. At some point down the road, you may decide, okay, we want to train a long-term care biller. That's mostly Medicaid. We'll train somebody to do the long-term care billing. Once they're trained, we'll take that piece back to TrueBridge. Now, what that's going to do to TrueBridge is they're probably going to want a little larger percentage of what's left. But I think if you could do that, and if you get someone and they're doing that in-house, then maybe you could look at, so, okay, well, we want to take the Medicaid or Medicare part of it back. Eventually, you're going to take enough that they're not going to want to do it all, but I think using them gives you the luxury of finding the person, the people locally. Your cost is still going to go up then, because now you're paying both of them.
But that money staying in Wrangell.
But that money, that money you're paying extra stays in Wrangell, and eventually you hope all of it will stay here.
What am I... It seems to me that we've got a billing crew that's great, and you've spoken highly of them in the past, but they're divided in terms of their tasks. And I know Rose Schumansky's one of the billers, is she? So Rose is also the person I go up to and have to get my lab slip from, and she registers me, and she does this, and she does that, and she does all these other tasks. So, yeah, I can see how it's kind of tough for her to concentrate on getting the bills out and getting the billing done. Wouldn't it make sense to hire somebody to do that function and let Rose go back to an office somewhere and bill? But aside from that, you know, I think small town survivability has to do with creativity. And recently at a school board meeting, we had a problem with our school lunch program, and a creative and innovative teacher stood up and said, what we need to do is formulate a program in the school where the kids are actually cooking the meals, and we have a whole program that involves cooking. You know, we have a billing problem. Can we not hire intern billers like Petersburg did to come in and help us get caught up while we train and bring other people along? And maybe it costs us $300,000 or $400,000, but that's what we'd pay out to Alabama in the very near term, in 2 years' time. And can we even look at something with the school system where we start to train young people to be billers? I don't know if that's possible. We have a liaison with Fairbanks College down here now, or Fairbanks University. Is there ways for us to creatively look at keeping these jobs? The last thing I'm going to say is, I appreciate that we can give this contract up in 2 years. We're not good at giving contracts up. Contracts just seem to keep going. So once people become accustomed and we're through sort of the difficult stages and it gets easy again, we just sort of ride. But this town needs jobs. And every job that we give away to somewhere else that we're not moving forward in our town hurts everybody. Hurts our schools, hurts the local businesses, it hurts everybody.
I'm going to call recess here at 8:18 for 5 minutes. We'll reconvene this meeting at 8:23 p.m. Okay, let's continue on with our discussion here. Any other questions? Yes, go ahead.
I had a couple of questions. And so the Wrangell Medical Center Board looked at this yesterday, and did they approve it?
Unanimously.
Okay. And I don't think we got around to the budget that's in front of us. Does it include the 2.2%?
Does not.
Okay. And so I guess my personal comments on listening to the discussion, I mean, I 100% believe in this concept of getting creative when we live in a small community, employing, you know, trying to employ folks here, sort of bringing people up through the ranks. However, I'm also very concerned about the solvency of the hospital right now. And I'm actually very glad to have Doran here in front of us saying that he's concerned. That's what a CFO should be doing, that we didn't have in the past, which is what happened when we got into trouble. We're still just barely out of trouble, can be in trouble anytime. And so to me, that's a real big priority, and we need to take it seriously. I think that, you know, listening to all the conversations so far, it seems like a reasonable stopgap, at least to get, hopefully, some breathing room, because we don't have any right now. And so to me, the weighing the risks and benefits of the two different options, I think going with TruBridge for a period of time sounds like a good option to me. I think it'll be up to us and the Wrangell Medical Center Board and the staff to be sure that we come back around to this issue and try to address it long term in a better, more creative way. So that's my thoughts.
I think I echo most of what Julie said, except one thing I think we could do is maybe task the Wrangell Center Medical Board to come up with some kind of a training match for some, you know, somebody that's there, maybe even an employee that wants to do some continuing education, set up some kind of a way to match so that they don't have to incur all that cost themselves, but they do the work on their own time or something like that. Lots of companies do that, and I really think that that needs to happen now so that when we do revisit this, you've got something already going, not waiting until 2 years down the road and we feel comfortable, now let's solve the problem. Because I think there are people in Wrangell who really want some career paths, and that's a great career path. Mm-hmm. You know, and then they invest in it as well as the hospital invests in it.
And we do have a tuition reimbursement program. So for people who, and many people have taken advantage of it and gotten great educations by using that. So we do really fully support the idea of growing our own, and also allowing other people in the community to get jobs by way of, right now we have a CNA program. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have come through that program and gone on to work as CNAs. But I think you're right. I think that we look at some other programs that can provide training in some other aspects of healthcare delivery. Right now, we've just so far focused on the CNAs.
Well, but I think what I'm saying is look at this acute, really difficult problem by itself. You know, yes, training all across the board, but maybe it's better than to do the reimbursement is you'll be marching with them up front. Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody doesn't have the money to outlay to be reimbursed or, you know, those kinds of things, and maybe come back to the assembly with some of your ideas and, you know, they can find budgetary ways to help out in that way. I really think that we shouldn't wait for 2 years to start mm-hmm. trying to solve the problem in-house.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
Okay, so that's one of the things that, when we look at this for 2 years, and 2 years is a very short amount of time. Okay, so the way I look at it is, in 2 years, are you say, you know, 12 months to 18 months, we look at, you know, okay, we're doing okay here, let's train somebody. What I'd like to see, I mean, if everybody agrees to this, and we do go with this, I want someone to start to be trained right away. And I understand, I've been running a business for a long time, and I understand that you train somebody and all of a sudden you've trained them and now they're really good at what they do and they can say, hey, well, gosh, I can go over here and make more money. That's a fact of doing business. Hopefully you're gonna find somebody that just loves this town as dearly as I do and is gonna stay here no matter what they get paid. But I mean, that's just what you're looking for. You're not going to have, you have no guarantees that someone's not, that if you're done training them, that they're not going to say, well, adios. But I don't see, I mean, I understand this is going to cost us a couple $100,000 a year. And if it is a stopgap, like you're saying, but what I really would like to see is if this goes through, someone being trained now. And if it takes two people to do the job or three people to do the job, I see $200,000. I mean, you could hire a couple people and give them a pretty good benefit package and stuff. And but I mean, have you looked at? I mean, there's got to be companies out there that can actually come up here and train people that here to do that same job that we're going to pay them to do. And I know that can't happen. Like, you're not going to train them right now, and then 1 month later they're all going to be this is good, and we're going to be getting more money. I understand that. But I just don't see waiting 2 years to do this. I understand you don't have the money to do it right now, but you also can't stop, can't wait.
That's the reality. And we did bring our business office team together and have this conversation with the office manager from Petersburg so that she could tell, you know, the good, bad, and the ugly of going through a change like this. And it's not easy to make any kind of transition. And so we wouldn't be doing it if we didn't think it was really the only option that we have right now to come through a difficult time, end up in a better cash position. Because yes, it's going to cost some money, but if that means that we end up with $1 million, $2 million in the bank that we don't have now, that opens up many possibilities that right now we don't have. It provides money to do training, and so that is what that's our trade-off, is that we're really needing to look at that.
I'd like to offer an amendment to the motion to basically keep the motion and say and request a plan, a future plan for training
locally for billing to be, to come back from the Wrangell Medical Center board and staff to the assembly? In a timely way? Is that what?
I just think there needs to be a time limit. Because if we don't say we need it in 4 months or 2 months or something, it'll, you know, something like that, it'll just lag because we've solved this problem.
We need a second on the motion before we go into discussion.
I'll second.
Then moved in second, now you can have a discussion.
I think it would be advisable to have an end date. When you don't have an end date.
Sure.
A lot of times we've solved the immediate problem and everybody's so busy. It's hard to get to that point.
If we're going the TruBridge route, we're going the TruBridge route because there's economy within that we are now retasking individuals. And if we try to interfere, and trust me, I don't want to go the TruBridge route, but I also want to represent what I think is the truth, is that if we start to set these parameters up that we're going to have some kind of training program for that the hospital has to, then they're putting more resources out for something that's not going to really be generating revenue right away. So we're going to have, we would just be basically duplicate billing, or we would be running a little school on the side. I think for me, if we're going to go TruBridge, we go the 2 years, we give them the 90 days, whatever if we're going to get out. I don't see the hospital, I mean, this isn't about increasing our money, or sorry, this isn't about increasing revenue, this is about improving our cash flow. So I think our budgets are fairly tight, relatively anyways, and if we try to put a mandated sort of, or we mandate some type of program on top of $200,000 extra a month, I think that's going to be a burden for the hospital, both in terms of resources and everything. So I don't support that amendment. And then I'll just speak just further to what I would support is that it's an either or in my mind, and then we evaluate at the end of 2 years. I can't see us trying to do something on the interim.
So to speak to that and the intent of the motion, and I'm not sure if I said this well, if you captured everything I meant, but the intent of the motion was to have them develop a plan. So they wouldn't immediately start today with training somebody new, so they're doing duplication and cost and have twice the cost. What they need to do is sit down and look at a realistic plan. You know, who do we use to do this? You know, how many people do we really need? What do, you know, and so that's going to take a little bit of time, and it needs to be thoughtful, and it needs to be merged into what TruBridge is doing right now for the next 2 years. And what we're going to see, you know, is maybe there's some milestones. So after year one, we see how much money TruBridge has collected. You know, how much we have to work with then, you know, so the plan should outline some of those issues. That's what I'm looking for. And it also gives, you know, it doesn't just leave the issue bye-bye, and in 2 years then we come back to, like you said, well, the contracts worked, let's just keep it, and it's the easy route. It kind of has something to continue this thread.
Can I ask a procedural question? So,
sure, go ahead.
So if we add an amendment to alter the what we originally brought here for a vote, then does the Wrangell Medical elected board not have an opportunity to weigh in, because they have unanimously approved what we are bringing here? So if we're going to change it, then it seems to me that they have a right to reevaluate the new plan. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So,
I yes, no. We wouldn't be amending the agreement at all. This motion does not amend the agreement at all. It just adds, it's a condition to our approval that these things be done. Is that correct? That's what you're asking for, right?
Correct. So the agreement in front of us would pass if the motion passed,
but there would be another section to the motion that would request that the Wrangell Medical Center Board and staff together develop a plan and bring it back to us. So you have control and input from the group. If they say, well, we don't need to do that, then I guess you come back to us with that. This is what our board said. We don't need to do this.
So they may think that it's a great idea, but also what we have to weigh is, do we have the finances to embark on something like that right now? And I heard you say it doesn't have to happen right now, but that's the piece that I would want to evaluate as the administrator, and not end up in a situation where we can't deliver on the promise that we would basically be making in that transaction. So I just wanted to be careful about that, and I don't know the scope of what we're talking about or anything like that. I think it's a great idea. I love the idea of training people to be able to get good jobs and better jobs, but I'm just not sure what it is that we are talking about in terms of timing and the cost. And so
that's what the plan figures out.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the idea is not to have some sort of complicated plan you have to hire a contractor to go develop. It's an in-house thing. You come up with a one or two page plan of how you know, where you discuss these options. And I don't know about the timeline on it. Maybe by the end of the calendar year. Yeah. You know, something that's doable, but keeps it on our radar screen for the community.
And I do like that idea, keeping it in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with Julie. I think TruBridge is the way to go for right now to ensure that the hospital stays solvent and we get out of this situation. But I don't want to see it to last forever and ever. It was like it was said earlier that we get comfortable in contracts. And at the end of the 2 years, well, this is working. Let's just go 2 more years and then 2 more. And pretty soon, 10 years down the road, we're still in the same contracts. I want to see some kind of plan, if not tonight, but eventually within, say, the next 3 to 6 months, come before us to say this is the way we're going to phase TruBridge out, and this is the length of time we're going to try to do it in. Whether that's getting people trained and start with one section, maybe one person to take over one part of the building, and then once that person is operational and up to snuff, then go with another section and another until we can completely phase them out. But I think something needs to be put down to where there's a timeline for that.
More of a question for Jeff.
Mr. Mayor, can I ask?
Go through.
Sure.
Thank you. So once this contract is in place and in play with the hospital and we ratify it, does it have to come back to us in 2 years for re-ratification?
If you renewed it, it would be like a new contract at that point.
Okay, so my question is, with Peace Health, we have a contract that we put in place, well, the Borough Assembly did. Now we don't vote on it anymore. It's strictly with the hospital board.
So, well, let me ask them, if we did nothing at the end of 2 years with the 90 days, would the contract just keep going?
Yeah, well, that's why we put in the 90 days.
Okay.
We didn't want it to automatically renew. That's the way it was originally designed, and we didn't want that because we wanted to have the opportunity to do something different that would bring it back in health.
So my question is, if the hospital board says, we like TruBridge, we want to move forward, keep them going, stamp of approval, does it then ascend to the Borough Assembly for final approval?
I don't know that off the top of my head. And the reason I don't, because if this is an agreement that doesn't have a particular termination date, in other words, if
service term 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought at the end of 2 years, you actually, if you did nothing at the end of 2 years, it would just keep going?
It has a renewal clause in it, but then we did insert that no matter what period of time it renews for, we have option to 90 days get out. But
that's just the initial 2 year period.
But before the 2 years is up, we could say we don't want to continue this after the end of the 2 years.
Okay. So my question, I'm going to try to be as specific as I can.
I know what you're asking.
I understand what you're saying is that we can get out of this contract after 2 years at 90 days. But does the contract continue on at the end of the 2 years?
Yes, it does.
It does, but what I'm saying is that we don't have to wait 2 years and 90 days. We can notify them in advance that we don't want to renew the contract.
I appreciate that, Marla. My point is that the Borough Assembly technically has no further say once we vote tonight.
And I don't know.
Because the contract continues on at the pleasure of the organization.
The only thing I could see, you know, I would think that would be it, because it does have a renewal clause in it that we are agreeing to that also if we approve it tonight, that we're agreeing to a renewal after 2 years unless we decide something different. Go ahead.
One other thing that concerned me a little bit is that it was mentioned that this is still before our borough attorney, that it's been sent over to her, to the office, and it's sitting with her. Is that correct?
Just the part about whether the liability language is going to be in twice or in once. That's the only thing. And it's that's all it is. It's just a matter of, do we want duplication in the liability language or not? Other than that, Bob had approved all of it before he left.
Any further discussion? Okay, we're going to vote on the amended motion.
So can it please be restated what amendment is so it's clear? I have moved to approve it with an amendment to request future training locally during that time.
So I'll restate it.
Okay.
And I'll try to go slow. To request a plan from the Wrangell Medical Center board and staff regarding future training for billing of local staff to be received by the assembly by the end of the calendar year.
I would say it's probably going to be a couple of months before we can get up and run live, probably sometime in August, but by the end of the calendar year, I think you certainly could come forward with some sort of outline of what that may look like. Whatever that is for bringing people back internally, it obviously is going to cost you more money then because you've got an overlap. But we certainly can look at that.
You seconded it, right?
Yep.
And you still agree with that? Mm-hmm. Okay. Any further discussion here?
On the amendment.
On the amended, yes.
Just on the amendment.
We're voting on the amended motion. Poll, please.
Okay, Assemblymember Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell? Blake?
Yes.
Persunka?
No.
Rooney?
Yes.
Mayor Jack?
Yes. Okay, since we have amended motion, the original motion dies.
Well, I think point of order, I think we voted on the amendment, whether we approved the amendment. Now we approved the amendment, now we had to go and vote on the amended motion. That's how I understand it.
Thing.
That's how I understand.
You're correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Is there any further discussion on the original motion?
On the amended motion.
Okay, if you allow me to, I'd like to talk to Jeff about something, about this.
Yes.
Okay. There's a lot of things being said tonight and everything, a lot of things I don't understand, okay? And basically you're the guy who's going to help me out on this, I hope. So what I'm looking at is, I think that I got a lot of information in front of me in this paperwork and everything, and it's all been thrown at me tonight. I want to know your opinion on this. I want to know what you're, what, if you have read more than that I know of just tonight. Do you know more about this, or?
I think the discussion that's happened tonight, I'm not sure I would know more than that.
Okay.
I think they have presented their, the reasons they think this is important to improve our cash position at the hospital. I think it's been discussed that, obviously, I think long-term, we all want jobs in town. And so the combination of both these, can that work in time? I think that's the question.
Okay. So you haven't gotten any of this more information than we have, basically, in what we discussed tonight?
No.
Okay.
Any further discussion? All vote on the original motion to approve.
Assemblymember Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
No.
Blake?
Yes.
Pasunka?
No.
Mayor Jack?
Yes. Thank you. Item 13D, approval of the fiscal year 2015-16 Wrangell Medical Center budget.
Give me 1 second.
My computer shut down.
Okay. Exactly.
Okay,
so that's here. All right, I move to approve the Wrangell Center's fiscal year 2015-2016 annual budget as presented.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Okay, my discussion was this agreement, is that part of the budget as it exists now?
It is not.
But in essence, if you're collecting more, you're going to have a greater cash flow, so it's not an impact on the budget. That's how I would, am I correct on that, you guys?
Yeah. It's not an impact on your cash flow.
Cash flow,
well,
right.
Anytime you spend money, it impacts your cash flow, but hopefully you'll have more cash to be impacted.
Flow it from.
Hopefully the income is more than the outflow.
It has to be because they only pay on... We would only pay the percentage on actual cash that we have in the bank.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Could saying that we're not just going to be writing them checks for up to $200,000. We only pay them if they derive the cash.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Okay. Looking at the budget, I know you need Band-Aids and other supplies to run a hospital, so I don't ever question things like that. But looking through it, I did see a couple of things that kind of drew my attention. When you look at each under expenses, when you look at each different department, everybody's travel is at zero until you come to administration, and then all of a sudden we have $17,694.53 in travel. What is that for? Who is it for? Is there any way to curb those expenses and cut down on unnecessary trips?
Mileage.
As I understand it, they've already done a significant amount of curbing on trips. And frequently in a budget, I defer to Olinda on the budget. She did an outstanding job on getting this done before I got here. But frequently in a hospital budget, you will budget whatever travel costs you have under administration because you're not really sure, you know, specifically what departments may need to have travel. And Marla can speak to this, but I assume the travel is generally restricted to someone who has to go for some specific training for their license or that kind of thing.
So I can tell you that in administration, it's, you know, myself. Also, we have nurses we have all administrative nurses that have both patient care job as well as some management responsibilities, like our infection preventionist. She also does our professional education. In order to maintain her infection prevention credential, and it's something that we need to have in order to remain licensed and so forth, she needs to get periodic training for that. that's going to come out of there. Same thing with CPSI, there may be training for that. But I think I presented, I'm not sure when I did, a year-over-year travel, and actually I think it went back 2 years. And the travel that we've had this last year and even the year before was significantly down. And to the point where basically what we're saying is if the travel is needed for to maintain a credential or to maintain or acquire a skill that is needed, I attend about maybe two of the ASHNA board meetings a year. I'm a board member, but I don't go to all of those board meetings. I try to get what I can from the minutes because of the cost. But if I don't go to any of them, then they make decisions for the hospitals that involve us, and we're not at the table. So I be very picky about when I'm there or not. And I've had the staff tell me that with the legislative fly-in, they really wanted me to be there. So I really do try to, and on some of the ASHNO trips that I've done this year have been on my own dime. So I'm not too concerned about that amount. We may not even use it, but one of the things that we hope to get by getting this credit card deal with TruBridge is to have a way for people to get this their needed training that's not going to take such a toll on the budget.
I have one more.
Yeah.
Under nursing home, I also noticed traveling nurse, line number 27 there, $474,193.63. Is that a variety of different nurses? Because it's stated in here singular.
It's all.
Or is it just one?
No,
okay.
Does that, well, first of all, Marlene, when we had our meeting, you brought up, or I think I had asked about having a travel summary of who went where. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we've seen that. I don't know if it's possible to get that.
We actually did create that, and I can bring it to the updates.
That'd be great.
We have a, and we fashioned it after the one that you're used to using.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
The second question I have is just on that travel. So that $17,000, does that also reflect contract people's travel? So if we are obligated under a contract, say for yourself, to fly you from Petersburg over to here, is that represented under that $17,000, or is that straight under the contract?
Those types of travel will be charged in the department for the person who did the travel, because it's important for your cost report that that cost flow through. In, for instance, if you have a travel nurse and you're paying travel for them, you want that charge for travel in the nursing department, because when you file your cost report, you get a higher rate of reimbursement for nursing expense than you would administration expense. So we try very hard to keep those in the right departments.
Right. So if administrative travel, that doesn't include, say, nurses, but would it include your travel that we're paying for you? And I don't know if we're paying for whatever the contractual agreements are for you, but would that be in that overall amount, or is that separated out into
that would be charged under the finance? Only travel, housing, meals, per diem that you're paying for me is my flight back and forth to
That's a good one. But I guess my question, so is there a way to find out what we're paying annually for travel throughout the organization from all the departments? Because, you know, we look at it and we want to say, well, how's travel doing? And we see $17,000. Well, that doesn't seem like hardly anything to me. But
that we might be, you know, penny wise and pound foolish sometimes, but I think it's the right thing to do for right now until we can have a better cash position.
Okay.
So I may have asked this before when in the fall, well, I can't remember now, when you went through the budget and financial statement with us, but the budget we have in front of us under the operating revenue and expenses cash flow statement, we have fiscal year ending 2014. That column and the other income for that you see stands out as a negative
$3 million. Can you explain that, why that's sort of an outlier, and what happened there? And I know this is before your time, yes. So you might be at a disadvantage. Mm-hmm. But
well, as I understand it, there were funds that were invested, or money that was spent toward the construction of the new hospital that had to be written off.
This year. I mean, this last year. Yeah,
this last.
Yeah, all at once.
Okay, so that was that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It was $3 million and plus change.
Okay. It's just an odd title, mm-hmm. Other income minus $3 million. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so that made the cash flow on the charts of this thing very negative at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did.
Your auditors in that year really tried to clean up everything they could. You won't see those kinds of adjustments in the current year.
Any further questions or comments?
I do have one more question. So you have a projected FY16 and a budget for FY16. There's about a $200,000 difference between the two on the bottom line cash flow. Can you tell me why would you have the difference of the two?
On mine says projected FYE 2015 and budget 16.
Oh, not on this one.
You're 16 on both.
Well, the annualized amount is when you take the actual up to that point and you just extrapolate it out to the end of the year. And then the projected on mine, it's got 2015. It's where we project into. If it says 2016 in that second column on yours, that's incorrect.
Oh, okay.
It's 2015. It's where we actually project. After we did our extrapolation, we looked at it and said, are there some things? And there were some things. There was some revenue because we had PT that had been brought in-house that wasn't a full year worth of revenue. We bumped that up. But as you can see, we're not projecting any additional revenues next year. And that, sometimes in hospitals this size, they're very easy to budget for unless you have some major change.
Yeah.
You know, you're not generally going to get a lot more revenue. But as you can see, your cash flow is basically a break even, mm-hmm. accentuates the need to do something to collect that cash.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions? Well, thank you for your comments. I know some of the questions might have been a little uncomfortable, and but there's a very good reason, mm-hmm. you know, at the end of the
Not uncomfortable at all.
No, we welcome that.
I always encourage mm-hmm. my students when I talk, please ask questions. It's mm-hmm. actually a lot easier on me if you'll ask mm-hmm. questions.
Yeah, I really appreciate it too.
And I wasn't here very long until I got my own Alaska Airlines miles card.
So. So thank you.
Thank you.
Poll, please.
Assemblymember Powell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Rusanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Mayor Jack.
Item 14, attorney's file. We have none. Item 15, executive session. There is no executive session. We will adjourn at 8:58 p.m.